This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome, this is Making Yourself at Home radio show and podcast,
where you can listen to wonderful stories from many migrants in New Zealand and learn from their experience. Hi, I'm Alina from Romania and I live in New Zealand for 3 years.
Hello, I'm Laura from Colombia and I've been living here for almost 10 years. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Making Yourself at Home at Access Radio Taranaki, your voice, your choice, 104.4 FM. We're here as every week, every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a while since I've been in here at 12 p.m.
Yeah, that's correct. But you're back.
That's nice
and
to be back.
Yeah, we're back on track, right?
We are.
So today we have, hopefully, we have Malcolm from India. He has been here before.
Yeah.
But this time he's coming to share with us a really nice prize that he won.
Yeah.
I don't have all the information about it. But
Segura, is that how you say it? His business name?
Seguro. I don't know in English. In Spanish, you will say Seguro. Yeah, so he participated in the Innovative Taranaki Business Competition, and he won with a QR code that will help people get secure access to properties, like Airbnb properties, and that sounds really nice. So hopefully he will be in soon to explain all about it and tell us about his experience.
Why is it when you innovate or you invent something, it always happens, everything always happens at once because they just had a baby.
Yeah.
So they've got a baby and then they've got a work baby as well.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
That's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah, everything happens at once.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with a little bit of music to give Malcolm a little bit of time to get here.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it later.
Cool.
So this is Ventana from the Bongo Hoop. And then we will go with Malcolm. So hopefully you enjoy it.
Cool.
Thank you. camino.
When you go to hospital, get back.
just not African. Brainwashed education is what they teach us every day. To carry on the legacy of the colonial master. My brother, watch out, brother. That's why black men, they suffer. They want to be white, more than white man. Oh, if you fail for school, teacher is your teacher. If you come to listen to Sekedi Band,
okay, we are back here at Making Yourself at Home, Access Radio Taranaki. And our guest of honor is here now. Yes, you are the guest of honor.
Welcome, Malcolm.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Laura.
We've just been hearing all about, just behind the scenes there, we've just been hearing all about your new business. And, and we would love for you to explain to our listeners about... What it is that you've come up with, and if you want to talk about the prize initially, that would be quite cool for everyone.
Yeah,
to hear.
Whole competition, and why did you went in?
Yeah, the competition, it's more than just a competition, really. It's a program this program called Innovate Taranaki. It was the first time it was done in Taranaki. I think it has been done in other parts of New Zealand, two or three other parts of New Zealand. Where they're really just the program just at the starting stages just invites innovative ideas from the region, after they get all the applicants, they go through and they narrow down to a set of semi-finalists. That happens sort of end of June, maybe early July. Yeah, uh-huh. End of June. Yeah, and then from there must have been about. Must have been about either 15 or 18 semi-finalists, mm-hmm. and then that then got narrowed down to 6 finalists.
Wow.
And why I'm calling it a program and not just a competition is because all 6 finalists got put through this mini accelerator program there's about 9 weeks, nine or 10 weeks between the semi-finals and the finals, mm-hmm. and each week on the Wednesday night after working hours, sort of between 5:30 and 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. all of the finalists got together and met with various business mentors from around town.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
Yeah, and they all really encouraged us to look at the idea from a business perspective, look at it from various angles and how it can be, how you can identify a customer, how you can reach them, how you can make this product usable to add value to the business, and mm-hmm. and what's your financial projection. Just things that, at least me personally as an engineer, the creating the product is really exciting, but then all doing all this other marketing and everything is
the
just
business
not,
part.
Yeah, the business part is just not something that, one, I'm not familiar with, and I'm having to learn because it's I can't say it's something I'm good at either. So it's in my mind.
And it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a completely different.
It's a lot of moving parts as well.
Yes, yeah. So it's a program because the mentors really, I mean, they gave so much off their own personal time after already doing a full day of work. They would mm-hmm. come and spend time two and a half hours with us.
Wow, that's cool.
So 6 finalists, the mentors worked with us, and on the finals night, we had to prepare a pitch, mm-hmm. a 5-minute pitch, like you. The closest thing I can think to correlate the finals to was like Shark's Den, Shark's Tank, no one's out there kind of throwing money at you or saying, you know, negotiating how much investment and how much shares of the company or whatever.
Yeah.
So you had to do a 5-minute pitch, as I view it, the entire accelerator program was the real prize for all of us finalists, because mm-hmm. that just, for me, it changed my thinking in so many ways, you know, like I was talking before about when I was trying to reach my customers and I was using too much of technical lingo, which was not doing me any favors.
Yeah.
I thought I was being very precise and specific on here's what you need for the solution.
Yeah.
But at the first introductory conversation mm-hmm. you want to have with the customer, that you don't need to get down to that technical mm-hmm, detail.
Yeah.
They just want to know what does this thing do.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and those are the things that this accelerator program really taught all of us, because mm-hmm. we came from very different backgrounds. There's two from an engineering background, me and another finalist, and then there was one who was a veterinarian.
Okay.
Another one who is from a high needs, you know, care type background.
Okay.
Yeah. And another student who had a brilliant idea on making a gaming arcade, just much like the one we got, but much more sophisticated with racing and force feedback and all that. So you have all of the thrill and the feel and the emotion of sitting in a racing car, except you don't crash and nobody loses lives. So
okay.
Yeah. So some really good ideas.
Really good. Yeah. That's inspiring. Being in that environment as
part
of the prize, you said.
Yeah, exactly. And it just went to show me that there's so many ideas out there. And so, you know, if not anything else, I fully encourage if anyone who's listening out there this competition is going to carry on for, I think, going forward. Uh-huh. Certainly for the next 2 years.
Okay.
They're going to hold it in Taranaki. So get out there. Put your entry into the program, into the competition, because you might be sitting on the next, you know, world changing idea I wasn't sure if I was at the start, uh-huh. if not for Khadisha, my wife, who really convinced me to put an entry into this competition.
Men, wife are amazing.
I didn't think I was ready because I thought my product is not fully there yet, and I think it's about 80% there, but now in hindsight, it was there.
And that's the thing, when you are too close to the project, when it's your baby, it's never ready.
Yeah.
It's never ready to show people. Yeah. And people outside can see the benefits, can see how amazing it is and want to promote it. And you are like, no, it's not ready. That's so common.
So I would say fight. Don't listen to that voice. Just, you know, next time
go
the competition is in the region, just go for it.
Yeah, really. True. The worst I can do is say no, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you will learn something. Because I don't think they will say no and nothing else. They will say no with a reason.
With some feedback.
With feedback.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your idea about secure? Segura. Is that what it's called? Segura?
Seguro.
Seguro.
Yes, yeah, Seguro. Seguro means safe in Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Same in Spanish.
Safe, yeah. That's right.
Oh, you guys know. Yeah.
Cool.
So, the use case that I used for the competition was for access control, so hence safety around mm-hmm. it and security. But essentially in one sentence, it's like Apple Pay, but for unlocking doors. So you just use your phone to unlock doors as opposed to plenty of other systems out there like swipe cards and fobs that also unlock doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So can you talk about, who have you got? So you've been out canvassing businesses, seeing who's interested in this. And what sort of industries have you had good feedback from who would use this technology?
So far, I've had really strong interest from the student accommodation segment.
Yeah.
Hostel accommodation facilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had interest from one of the hostels in Christchurch and also one of the local hostels here in New Plymouth.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. And I was, in fact, talking with the boarding director from the one down in Christchurch. She asked me if my system can be fitted on top of an existing card system that they've already got installed, which costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So when I asked her, I was just baffled as to why she would want to install another system after already having paid for one. But the frustration in her voice was, she said, it's a girls' hostel, teenage girls, they keep losing their swipe cards. They will, but their phones is an extension of their body. They never lose their phone. So if the key that unlocks their room door goes with their phone, chances are it'll never get lost, but we're having to always respond to the situations of the card's broken or the card's lost or something, and it usually happens at 7 p.m. at night when there's,
Nobody there.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be bothered either at 7 at night. I've gone home.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. You've already finished your work for the day and you're chilling out. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So they're going to be your first customer, are they?
I'm here, so I'll probably have to go down there. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe if this thing works. But because if they've got a card system, they've already got a lot of the apparatus in place. They've got the electric lock. They've got everything that is needed for my technology to work. I just need to install one little relay on top of that and my app.
Easy peasy.
So to understand it a little bit more, now that you say that they already have everything installed, if somebody, for example, if I have a business and I want some people to open the door, what do I need to make it work? So I need to change the way the locks work?
So it depends on what you have. Currently, uh-huh. if you do not have any electric locking system,
uh-huh.
so if it's just a normal standard lock and key, uh-huh. then you will need to install the electric lock.
Okay.
Because the app activates that lock.
Okay.
Electrically, it's an electrical circuit. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we'll need the electric lock, and that lock works on a different voltage system to our main system. It works on 12 volts, which, sorry, this is getting a little bit...
It's okay. It works in a different system.
Yeah. So there's a power supply converter, which is, uh-huh. It's all pretty simple.
Okay, and I'm trying to imagine myself using it. So I will have an app that is what you created.
Yeah.
That will give me a QR code that will be the key.
Yes.
And then my door will have like a little screen where I show the key to that screen and it will unlock the door.
Yeah, so no, the other way around. So you don't need the app on your phone. If you are the person having to access that door or get in, you don't need the app on your phone.
Okay.
So you are accessing the premises of premises that belongs to someone else,
Else.
A business, let's say, for example. If you take the example of a motel, right?
Uh-huh.
And if I'm the motel owner and you have booked a room on Monday and Tuesday, I have the app running on the device that is placed in the vicinity of the door on a kiosk or something, or stuck on the wall or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So the app runs on that, and the app is what does the authentication. I just email you the QR code as the guest.
Okay.
Or send you a picture or whatever.
Whatever.
The email would be in the motel scenario. I would, when I send you an acknowledgement email saying thank you for booking with us, mm-hmm. and we look forward to hosting you embedded in the body of that email would be, at the bottom would be the QR code. So the key comes with that email. That's how I'm thinking
so
of it.
So don't delete your email.
but even if you do, it's very easy in your, from my end, just as the owner or the admin of that system, just to hit resend and you'll have it. You'll have it back in your inbox.
Sounds ideal for the contactless check-in, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, cool. I can imagine you're going to be all tracing up and down the country now, up to Auckland, talking to all the hotels.
Talking about it.
Yeah. What about high security places like banks? Do you think this is the sort of technology they would like for their, like, getting into the vaults and... Or like science labs. I'm thinking all that. I've watched too many action movies. All the biosecurity and those sorts of things.
So maybe you will need three of the codes to authenticate at the same time.
So one thing I forgot to mention earlier is, you know, when you're talking about the business who just has got a lock and key system, a very traditional lock and key. So the two things that we need is the electric lock and power in the vicinity, and then the other thing is the door needs to be within Wi-Fi coverage. So that's really important because the app works and that's the biggest that's a huge cost saving. As compared with any other traditional access control system, where you have this central controller that's sitting in some back room, and then installation cost is very high because you've got to run a cable all the way from the door to that hidden location at the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this, you don't have that long distance cabling.
Chances are you already have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, exactly. Or you just install a repeater to strengthen the signal, and then you're away. But coming to your question, Michelle, banks. I don't know if they would use this sort of thing. The truth is, there's plenty of access control solutions out there, you know, and very mature products. Mine's a very novice product, to be really fair. So I would think those kind of corporates would go for those, you know, well established. I mean, they could go for this. I'm not saying that it can't, but really, the segment of the market sector that I had in mind was small and medium enterprises, because for large, it's very affordable and easy for large corporates to buy this access control system. And even with the high installation cost, you know, if they're a business that runs into the millions, they can afford to deploy a technology like that. And then you typically buy a controller that's got 20 inputs and 20 outputs, or 20 card readers or something. So there's plenty of solutions out there for large-scale applications. However, if you're a motel of, let's say, a really small business of, let's say, just, or even an Airbnb.
You've only got one door,
you got five doors. It doesn't make very much economical sense for you to buy this controller that's, the hardware itself is $5,000 or $6,000, and it's got 20 doors, but you only need three. You only need five doors.
Yeah.
So this one can be, my product can be scaled down to literally just one door,
because
you're paying per door, or you're paying per app. It's really it can be scaled up as well, but I see its biggest advantage is its scalability in the downward direction. It can go down to just one or just two to suit a small and medium enterprise's needs.
Cool. Well, that's good.
And you can basically open or action whatever you want to, as long as it you make it work with electricity, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what else can I open with this? I can open, I don't know, like a mailbox or something, like a little box where you drop stuff and other people have to pick it up, for example. It's just a little door and you want to secure it.
It's a good idea.
You could.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I'm just thinking of things like car hire, for example. Where people have to come in and pick up the car key. You can just, as you say, you lock the key of the car in a box. And you may have, if you got a fleet of 10 cars, you may have 10 boxes.
Yeah.
But your code will only open box number 7, which is the key, which is the car that you've hired.
Yeah. Or if you're at the gym or the pools or something, you get into the
correct.
Lockers.
Correct.
Mm. Yes, exactly. Mm. Oh, this hits me every Sunday when I take my kids to the Todd pools over here for swimming. And they've got they enrolled for swimming lessons, but usually the lesson starts at 9 o'clock. So if you just come in arrive there at 9, which is usually what happens with us, or just a couple of minutes on either side, there's usually a queue, and then the person at the desk there, she's looking through the register and trying to tick off our names. And there's already an electrically activated door based on the sensor.
Yeah.
So all if they make sense. Because we've enrolled for the class, just give us a code. We can just click in and let ourselves through. The door will open for us.
That'd be amazing.
It'll take out all that manual friction.
You could load up all your, like if you've paid prepaid lessons and you can, or prepaid for swims and you can just... Yeah. I mean, they already have like a swipe card with, you know, so they have that technology.
But they just haven't connected it to the door, which is also electric. So again, they've got all of the building blocks in place. It's just maybe this is what I've got is just the last missing link.
Yeah, correct. Go talk to the council. I always think the aquatic centre could be much more efficiently run, eh?
It's a great place to
hang out. It's a great facility, but it could be way more efficient.
Yeah.
It's so incredible how technology can help you improve those little things. And we get used to not having to do those little things. Yeah. Because, you see, we are kind of complaining a little bit that we have to make a little queue, and this could vanish the queue and just let us through.
You have to queue for enough things. We don't want to have to queue for the stuff that, you know, if something so simple could fix that, then why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
I hate unnecessary queuing or I come from Auckland, so banish the queue.
Okay, I have a little bit of music. Musa Paradisa from Majo. And then we can talk about a little bit of how you came to New Zealand. I know you were here before and we already interviewed you, but we can talk about that again. And you can tell us your story.
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, we're back. This is Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM. Your voice, your choice. And this is Making Yourself at Home with Malcolm, our guest and winner.
Yeah.
And Michelle today. Yes.
Hello, hello. Yeah, we were just having a chat while the beautiful tropical sounding music was playing in the background. and we were just talking about how Malcolm, because I know we were going to talk about you coming to New Zealand, but I just wanted to cut in there and ask about how you won the prize. So with your pitch that you went into, like kind of like a dragon's den, and you were advised not to show your product, but you decided to in the end anyway.
Yeah, it's not that I was not advised not to show the product. It was more not to use up, because it was run on a schedule, obviously. So I had 5 minutes for my presentation. The judges had 5 minutes for their question time, and then a few minutes after that to deliberate and score all of the finalists. So I was advised to not to consume any of that, not to consume my 5 minutes, and also not to consume any of the judges' question time, because if there is something that I haven't delivered very clearly, or it's something that's a bit ambiguous, the more I clarify that idea in their mind, the chances are that the better the chance that they would understand me and then perhaps score me better, because the unclarity or ambiguity is, they'll just say the risk was too hard, or just it just doesn't make sense, and I might lose points because of that. So only purely for that reason, I was advised not to demonstrate on stage, but offer the option to everyone in the room that night, say, if you want a demo, I'm happy to do it once I get off stage. And that's exactly the how I approached the center, I think. But after I finished my presentation, when it came to question time, one of the judges asked me the question, and then the very next thing one of the other judges said was, hey, is that a replica or is that a real working demo? And I said, no, it's a working demo. I can do an actual demo for you after I get off stage. And he said, no, I want to see it now.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I said, no, it takes me a little while to set up, so I can certainly do it for you off stage. And he just kept a straight face. I've told you what I want. I'm waiting. Do me the demo.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the timekeeper and I said, how am I doing for time? And he said, oh, don't worry. You finished earlier than your 5 minutes, so you've got a bit of time to play. And then I turned back to the judge and I said, okay, normally when I do a demo, I do a dry run. It's a private dry run, so I know that it works before I show it to everyone else. But now you have you put me on the spot, so hey, this is the true test. So, and I invited everyone, and the judges and also others in the room, if they wanted to be part of that trial. I said, this door will unlock on a very specific QR code. If anyone in this room can unlock this door with their QR code, then this is a crap product. I need to go back and rework this.
Yeah.
And so one of the persons present there, from Palak, actually, from Innovation HQ, she said, I've got a code. We'll try this. So she came up with a code, and as expected, it was the wrong code. Didn't unlock the door. And then I also said, okay, I'm going to try another wrong code just to show that, demonstrate that an incorrect code is not going to unlock this. So we tried two wrong codes, and then I said, here's a correct one. And as soon as I scanned the correct one, we heard the lock click and the door swung open.
Yes.
And at that point, the entire room just erupted in applause. And I think at that time, that was probably the point where the scales tipped in my favor.
Yeah, they could see something real. Yeah.
Yeah. In addition to the presentation, all of us did power presentations, but I had this little demonstration of what I just talked about in my 5 minute presentation.
It was very impressive because you'd made a little door.
Yeah. It's just a little, like, 1 foot high, 300 mils high by about 150 wide. Just a little thing that I can carry around. Otherwise, it's really hard. That's going to be my little friend for the coming months. I think I'm going to have to carry that along with me. It's really hard to explain otherwise.
Are your daughters asking you to make a doll's house with that door on it, and then they can have a special code to open their doll's house?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Can you imagine?
They can put their little treasures in there, and then depending on whose turn it is to play with, who they get the QR code.
Oh, you're a genius.
I could just
you have it there. That's your business.
I hope they're not listening.
Or a little Wendy house, little playhouse they can go in, and only the girls with the codes can go in.
Yes, that's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Because the code doesn't have to be on your phone. It can be on on a little piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole idea was, you know, again, catering for all age groups without being ageist, if that is a word. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are people out there that don't have smartphones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
They print everything. Yeah.
So if they make a hotel booking and they get this email that's got the mm-hmm. QR code embedded in it, then they just print that out and that's their key.
Mm-hmm. Goodness me. I'm just thinking because I am on the committee for Frankly School and we've got a gala coming up. We've got a bunch of fundraisers. I'm helping run a fundraiser this Saturday for Jack and Jill photos. If anyone would like to book a session, you can go online and book one. but we've got to sort out the, you know, the issue. The teacher has to be there at 8 a.m. to unlock for the photographer and then come back on a Saturday at 5 to lock up. And if I just had a QR code, if all of the committee could just access a QR code, how much easier would that be?
Yeah.
And then if any of the committee goes rogue and goes in when they're not supposed to, then the QR code can get changed.
Yeah. I was actually, I was actually thinking of reaching out to schools and, because schools often, they hire out their spaces, right? They hire out like a school hall or something for use on weekends.
Yep.
And so having this would just take out that friction of having to handle keys or keys getting lost and then, or do I have to change the lock now and locksmith and everything?
Oh, yeah, venues like halls and stuff for birthday parties or our church, City West Church, often hires out for different functions and things. And so... gosh, yeah, I can just hear, like, the pastors going, yes, please, I don't want to have to come in every, you know, on my day off to unlock things. And, it'd be great if they had that QR code system.
That's great. And then you as the administrator of the app, let's say you were the person at the church and you've got people booked it this weekend and a different set of people booking it the next weekend, you issue one QR code just for this weekend's guests.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend guests gets a different QR code. So in effect, you are changing the lock with every cycle, and remotely, just as long as you are within mobile coverage or Wi-Fi coverage, you just click the phone and you activate a QR code.
It's good.
It's really easy. It's really easy. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your story.
Yes.
How do you come to New Zealand? Why?
You've heard all of this before.
But not my listeners. Give me a refreshment of your story. Yeah. Any changes in the last 2 years?
Well, I haven't heard the story. Yeah. So I'd like to hear where you're from.
You can give us the short version of it.
Yeah.
So I'm from Goa, which is on the west coast of India.
Can you tell me about, because Goa sounds like a really beautiful place from what I've heard. Can you tell me a bit about it?
It is. It's very, very similar to New Plymouth in many ways, in the sense that it's a coastal town. So we lived, especially during summer, going to the beach was just almost a given on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was coastal, tropical, so a lot of palm plantations, and so you got the whole tropical type fruit.
Amazing. Fruit and everything. Oh my
gosh. It's an ex-Portuguese colony, so you see a lot of quite a strong Portuguese influence in our cuisine and now in the architecture, in the city. I studied Portuguese in school, and a lot of people from my parents' generation speak Portuguese even now.
Yeah.
Because the Portuguese, Goa got liberated from the Portuguese in 1961, which is not that long ago. So my parents' generation went through their schooling under Portuguese governance.
Wow.
Yeah, so they would have, a lot of them would have had to study in Portuguese or they certainly had to know the language mm-hmm. if they had to go to the marketplace.
Yeah.
Goa has its own language, its state language, which is Konkani
mm-hmm.
as well.
Which is a mix of Portuguese and something?
There is a lot of Portuguese words in Konkani, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so Goa is really interesting because it's a fusion of the you could say the traditional Indian culture and with a real strong influence of Portuguese. So both of those are really mixed, and you see that in the food, you see that in the way people dress, in the architecture.
Cool.
It's very different. Yeah, if you just cross the Goa border and go into another state, you'll see the differences.
See it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting, eh?
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I grew up till the age of 17 or 18, and then I went to a bigger city to study engineering, electronics and instrumentation engineering, for 4 years in Chennai, which is on the east coast of India.
Okay.
Yeah. So and also all of my professional education really was in India.
Yeah.
And so for engineering was a 4-year program, and when I was in third year, my parents decided to migrate to New Zealand, so I stayed on and finished. Just the final year.
Yeah. Okay.
And then came to New Zealand. So my career started in New Zealand.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. So
and how was that? Like, did you already know English or did you have to learn?
No, we knew. English is quite commonly used as a medium of, you know, communication in Goa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, probably because of the Western influence.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's lucky. I mean, it's pretty lucky for anyone who speaks English who wants to travel. You're pretty. a lot of places still speak English as well.
Yeah,
Okay, cool. Oh, so how long ago was that when you moved over to New Zealand?
2005.
Okay.
Yeah, 2005. It was in Auckland for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then in New Plymouth. Been in New Plymouth since 2007.
What made you come to New Plymouth?
You got a job here in the energy sector. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Like everybody.
Yeah. This stereotypical engineer migrant joining the oil and gas industry.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, so I came here as a grad back in 2007. It was great. It was great. Coming from Auckland, especially, you know, like I was saying before, in Goa is... So I don't know what image comes to your mind when you think of India, but usually if you Google India, you'll see landscape of Mumbai that's got very high density living, a lot of high rise buildings. Goa is not like that. And so and so for me, Auckland was a big change.
Okay.
The traffic and everything. Yeah, it's just not all of these. You know. Like any other big city, but I'm not from a big city. So Auckland was a huge change. And then coming from that to New Plymouth was just, it was a lot colder, of course. But
tropical at all.
Yeah. But in many respects, it was very similar to back in Goa. I just jump on my bicycle and I would cycle into work 10 minutes, from home to work.
Yeah, just the cold version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No palm trees.
Yeah, that's right.
No coconut.
No coconut.
Oh, it sounds like a beautiful place. I'd love to go there. Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah.
So how did you meet Khadisha, your wife?
You have inside information.
Kind of. I'm trying to remember what she told me.
So it's a bit of a funny story. I would bet that we were probably in the same space or in the same room as kids, you know, at the age of probably 5 or 6.
Oh my God.
The reason I say that is because, but we didn't know each other and didn't really take notice of each other even.
Yeah.
But my parents were good friends with Khadisha's dad's sister's family. So her dad's sister's children were her cousins, obviously.
Yeah.
So I highly suspect that we would have been in the same house and the same birthday party for
same
her
event.
Cousin's birthday. Yeah, yeah. For her cousin's birthday parties and things.
Yeah.
But I didn't really, didn't know Khadisha existed. I think I was just running around with the boys at the time. But yeah, and then because there was that kind of family connection. They introduced us to each other in 2018.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, coming back to how long I've been in New Zealand. Between 2007 till now, I've only been out of the country for 2 years. I was in Perth between 2012 and 2014. It's around that time when I got in contact with Khadisha.
Yeah.
And being in Perth was good because I did a lot of air travel that year.
Yeah.
to go see her, and it was a lot closer.
It's a good place to travel from.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So was it like an arranged marriage or?
We were introduced.
Yeah.
From that point on, obviously because the families knew each other, they were all hopeful. But a lot of it depended on how things panned out between us.
And we
kept in technology nowadays as well. I mean, back then, this is going back 2012, end of 2012 is when I actually got her phone number. And things like before web-based messaging systems like WhatsApp Messenger and all that, doing international calls and texts would have been quite costly, right? So it's around that time when all of these web-based type applications just started coming on, and so keeping in contact was really easy. Also, being in Perth, because it was only a two-hour time difference between India and Australia, Western Australia.
Wow!
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I wouldn't have known that was so close.
Yeah, it was really That's looking at the time zones. Yeah. It was only 2 hours apart, which was great. In hindsight, I think if I was in New Zealand, because we did have a phase where after we got married, I came to New Zealand, and then while her visa was getting processed, so I had to come here for work.
Yeah.
So while we were apart for those few months, we only spoke. We managed to sneak in a very brief conversation once a week on the weekend on Saturdays
because of the time
difference. After getting married, because I was working Monday to Friday over here, and she was doing the same there, and in New Zealand and the west coast of India, about 7.5 hours apart. So you can imagine when she's starting her work there, I've already finished.
Yeah.
And I've got a good bed because I was doing commissioning at that time. So it was long hours, 12-hour days. So I couldn't stay up too late either. So I don't know if this whole us coming together may have not happened because if we're just getting one conversation a week and that's very brief.
Yes.
But Perth, just being in Perth just... made that much easier.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When was the last time you went to India?
Pre-COVID, Jan 2020.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Any plans to going back?
Yes.
To base it?
Yeah. Some of Kadisha's cousins are getting married this December, so she's planning to travel with the kids, and my family is planning to do a bit of a Christmas thing over here this Christmas. So I'll stay behind, and then I'll look to make a trip there, maybe March or April.
That's pretty nice. Yeah. One of those big weddings.
Yeah. Over there.
Over there.
Yes. So certainly by New Zealand standards, or most Western standards, if anything more than 100 invitees is still considered big, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And goes for several days.
Some do. Yeah. In my wedding didn't go for. It was just the one day. That evening. But, I think we had close to 700, 800, because it was, I'm the eldest in my family, and she's the same, she's the eldest in her family, so.
It was an important event.
Yeah, and it's just, there's a lot of, a lot of social connections, so it's, who you invite is not just, not just my friends and my family, it's people who are dear to my parents, because...
Yeah.
It's a joyous occasion for my parents, and so they also want to celebrate with their friends, so they want to invite their friends along, and so it's just the invitee list just grows.
Oh my gosh.
And it's nice because it's full on planning it, because it's just like full on event planning, man, to plan a wedding like that.
It's 700 people. Plenty to plan.
Yeah, my gosh.
So you got married in Goa?
In Goa, yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good. Good time to get together.
Oh, awesome. And then since you got married and started a family, and do you want to talk about your kids or about your most recent addition? Sort of like everything that's kind of converged at the same time with your new business. And
oh man, yeah. So we had a baby in June, 10th of June. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we had a baby, and we obviously knew that was coming. And I put in an entry into the competition in March. Not heard from them for 2 or 3 months. So I didn't. I thought that just died a silent death, and I just carried on with normal life. So we had a baby in June, and then end of June, I got informed that I was a semi-finalist. And around the same time, so we've now got four kids. Well, actually counting all, we've had five, but we lost our first. Thank you. So we've got four kids. So I was also looking for a job, a working arrangement that gave me a bit more flexibility, because managing the home front was starting to become a bit of a challenge with having to, you know, with the traditional 8-to-5 sitting at a desk type. So I was looking at that, and so that was also one of the, I guess, the known things that was happening, or I was expecting. I was transitioning from my then job into now my new job.
Yeah.
But this competition just came on top of all of that, just in left field. I did not expect that to be semi-finalist, and then to be announced as the finalist, and to be put through this mini accelerator program, which needed me to go there for the weekly, you know, every week to meet up with mentors and work on your business idea.
It was
full on. It really the competition pushed me to run at a pace that I know I wouldn't have run otherwise if not for the competition.
Yeah.
But now you know you can.
Yeah.
You could probably sustain it for a little while.
A little bit more. Every 3 months, just run a little bit of a sprint.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
get a lot of stuff done. And then rest.
Yes.
Hibernate. A little bit.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's currently I'm in that rest phase, but now having won the competition, so I talked about the mini accelerator program that all the six finalists went through. The winner of the competition now gets a more targeted or more focused accelerator program, one-on-one business coaching to really establish the business and get it off the ground.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I'm just, because up until the finals, I've been thinking, just one more week to go, just two more days to go, and it'll be over. But
now
that I've won, I'm jumping from one treadmill to another. I'm not getting off the treadmill.
Oh my gosh.
But that sounds really exciting.
That's so good.
It is.
Really exciting.
Yeah. Congratulations, Malcolm.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for coming to share your story. And what can you say to anybody that want to maybe show their idea to somebody?
Take it out of the box. Don't leave it in the box. Don't leave it in the closet. We think that in a technology saturated world we've got everything you need, but just there's still so many problems out there or areas that value can be added to people's lives. And so don't be shy of your ideas. It would be, if not anything else, just be, there would be one line that I hope you take away is, don't be shy of your idea. Don't just be, feel confident enough to come out and talk about it. And Innovation HQ have been great at hosting this program. Extremely supportive. They're not there to tell you whether your idea will work or not. They're here to walk with you on the journey and help you discover whether your idea will stand on its merit.
That's really nice, though.
Yeah.
Adding value, I like that.
Yeah.
That awesome. Phrase. Cool. Yeah. Go add value to the aquatic center.
All right. Thank you, Malcolm, for coming. And see you, Michelle, next week.
It's cool. Been a pleasure. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks, right. Laura.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you to the Ethnic Communities Development Fund, which is the fund that makes this program possible and many other activities and projects for communities here in New Zealand. So thank you, and see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to be part of our show, please contact us on our Facebook page, Making Yourself at Home. We would love to hear your story.
You can find our show as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the Access Radio Taranaki website.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.